Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Tang, and I'm joined by Glenn Schultz, the head of agency mortgage prepayment modeling and strategy for MUFG. Today is Tuesday, November 10th. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Ellen. It's nice to speak with you, and thank you for having me today.
Of course. So today, we are going to discuss the agency mortgage prepayment landscape against the backdrop of this month's prepayment release. Firstly, how did this month's prepayment speeds report versus your expectations and those of the Catania prepayment model?
Prepayment rates were pretty much our expectations in Catania's prepayment forecast. The day count convention implied prepayment speeds would be up about 5% on a month-over-month basis, and that's pretty much where the Catania model was as well. In the 30-year sector, Fannie Mae 30 and UMBS 30-year prepayment speeds were 36 spot 9 and 35 spot 6. So those speeds were up about 5.5% and 4.9% on a month-over-month basis, respectively. And then turning to the 15-year sector, again, Fannie Mae 15 and UMBS 15-year prepayment speeds were about 24.3 and 23.5, so on a CPR basis. So those were up 4.2 and 4.1% on a month-over-month basis, respectively. So that's a little bit below the day count convention. And then in the Ginnie Mae 30-year and 15-year sectors, prepayment speeds were about 37 and 30.5 CPR. So both those were up about 5.6 and 5.3% on a month-over-month basis, respectively. So when you look at the total picture of speeds across Fannie, UMBS, and the Ginnie 2 sector, we pretty much were on the plus 5% month over month. So everything was really, really pretty much within expectations in terms of what we were thinking and what the prepayment model was thinking. So once again, this is a theme we've talked about in the past. Overall speeds slightly outperformed day count convention. This has been going on through the summer and the fall months. And this is just an ongoing theme for the refinance wave that we're in.
Got it. Can you give us an overview of how prepayments have performed across the coupon stack? And then also, did prepayments by coupon and vintage perform in line to your expectations?
Sure. Overall, the Fannie Mae 30-year 2.5 coupon, the cohort in total prepaid 24 CPR. That was up 18% on a month-over-month basis. So the 2.5 coupon really outperformed day count convention. But the meaningful vintages within the 2.5 coupon complex are the 2020, the 2019, and the 2016 vintage years. That's where the bulk of the outstanding actually are. And those vintages paid about 19 spot 8 and 53 spot 2 and then 41 spot 6 CPR respectively. So each was matching or significantly exceeding day count convention. And of course, 2.5 coupon is kind of the nearest in the money coupon. So we expect that to be kind of heavily refinanced coupon. Those are pretty much in line with our expectations by vintage. Particularly in the 19 and 16 cohorts, those have been coming in, you know, in the high 40s and in mid, low to mid 50s consistently over the past couple months. The aggregate Fannie Mae 3.5 through 4 coupons prepaid 43, 46, and 44 CPR respectively. So each of those coupons on a cohort basis beat the day count convention. And across the vintages, we saw similar performance to that as witnessed in the coupon cohort. So again, the story here across vintages and across coupon stack is just a continuation of the summer and the early fall months, and it's just fast prepayments no matter where you look.
Yeah. So what we have now is a historically low 30-year mortgage rate that has allowed the securitization of 1.5 coupon 30-year MBS. Our clients are asking us, what is our prepayment outlook for the 30-year 1.5 coupon?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, actually. So the first time I saw the 30-year 1.5 coupon on the screens, it was a little difficult for me to get my head around that idea. With the 1.5 coupons, I think we really have to start looking and thinking about the lock-in effect that's going to be dominating prepayments, especially in the near and the intermediate term. So the lock-in effect is well documented. It's part of every prepayment model. The lock-in effect is the observation that borrowers with a favorable rate are less likely to turn over, at least in the first 2 or 3 years, than borrowers with a less favorable rate, right? So very, very low rates kind of precipitates this lock-in effect. You know, by way of analogy, following the first major refi wave in the mid-1990s, prepayments on the lowest coupons fell to below 6 CPR between 1997 and 2002. So that was a very slow speed, and that took people by surprise on these low coupon refinance loans. The market right now is currently pricing about a 5.5 long-term CPR on the new production 1.5 coupons. So that's kind of in line, I guess, with historical experience in what people are thinking. But that being said, this is a little bit half the national turnover rate, right? In my view, and the Katana model view are pretty much congruent on this, and I believe that the 30-year 1.5 coupon will likely ramp to around 10 CPR, and that the coupon will generally reflect the housing turnover rate. The reason that I say this is I do think that we're in a much different housing market than we were in the mid-1990s. We obviously have less supply. We have more competition for homes. We have fewer days on market. And even against a backdrop of rising rates, if you were to think about it that way, we would still have historically low mortgage rates. So I do think the lock-in effect is going to be something to watch for, but I just don't think it's going to be as pronounced as we had seen in the in that first refi wave in the mid-1990s. And I think the model is more right than wrong. I think we'll probably see something closer to the 10 CPR level on the 1.5 coupon.
So Glenn, you mentioned turnover. So going back to that, what is your view for housing turnover in the near and intermediate term?
Yeah, sure. So let's just define housing turnover real quickly, because sometimes, you know, people aren't exactly sure what one person is measuring versus the other person. And that's really the sale of existing single family homes divided by the stock of single family homes outstanding in the United States, right? So since the onset of the pandemic, we've seen some significant migration out of densely populated cities and into the suburbs. The migration was in part driven by pandemic concerns, but also work from home demand, where buyers are desiring more space for work from home offices. So we measure prepayment related turnover as the out of the money CPR. So what we're really trying to say is, okay, you know, within the outstanding single family universe, those borrowers who are out of the money represent turnover, right? They're just moving for whatever reason. So out of the money is defined by pools whose borrower incentive is measured between minus 0.5 and minus 0.25 basis points, right? So essentially they're out of the money to the prevailing mortgage rate. And the October turnover rate was 11 CPR. So that was pretty fast for October, but we have seen some fast October prints in the past. I expect the winter low to be around 8 CPR. So that's a little bit faster, I think, than most people's expectations. But what we have seen consistently over the past 24 months is elevated turnover rates, right? And then in the summer months, going into 2021, I would not be surprised to see turnover rates approach about a 15 CPR. But still, when we get into the summer months, refinancing is going to constitute the major share of prepayment, and that's going to be going in, I think, until Q3 2021.
So what is the Katana model view with respect to the duration of the refinancing wave?
Yeah, so a lot of people have been looking at prepayment models and looking at their empirical durations or their OAD durations relative to empirical or hedge durations. And the Katana model view is that the current refinance wave is going to persist for some time. So we expect speeds to continue, as I said, faster going into early Q3 2021. Thereafter, speeds, you know, will begin to trend downward somewhat. And we expect prepayments to begin to normalize going into Q1 2022. So I have to admit the model view is more pessimistic than most on the street. But following this month's report and the continued hiring by mortgage originators, I think that many are beginning to rethink their models and their model durations. So the Katana view with respect to the 1.5 and the 2 coupons is a little bit longer than the market. So Katana, or a little bit shorter than the market, excuse me. So if you think about Katana view is 10% turnover rate on the 1.5 coupon, and the market view is a 5.5, we're about 1.5 years duration shorter. The 2 is similarly kind of a turnover coupon, and there we're about 3/4 of a year shorter than the market. And then when you move into the 2.5s and the 3s, we're very close to where the market is. And then on some of the higher coupons, you know, we're actually longer than the market, and, you know, not by much, maybe, you know, a quarter to a half a year, depending on what you're looking at. But that's really because we're giving credit to Sato in our model. So we're really looking at new production, higher coupons, you know, in this very low mortgage rate environment as you know, somewhat credit impaired borrowers or high LTV or debt to income borrowers. And that gives a friction to refinancing. So if we were to take the Sato credit away from the higher coupons, we'd be, you know, kind of much closer to the market. So the big difference in terms of Katana versus, you know, hedge implied durations is really in the 1.5, 2 coupons, and that's really driven by, you know, the turnover outlook.
Okay, so switching gears a little bit, I wanted to talk about the GDP results. You know, they have so far been in line with our economist John Herman's forecast. And given John's forecast, what are the implications for delinquency rates and forbearance, and how will those play into prepayment rates?
Yeah, that's a good question, and a lot of people are kind of looking at that and still asking, you know, how that's going to play out in terms of prepayments. But first off, in terms of John's forecasts have really proven to be particularly prescient as we go through here. So to my knowledge, I think he was the only forecaster that saw kind of the dramatic economic recovery that we've witnessed going into Q3. And John's forecast, you know, when I reviewed it, is a 2% contraction for GDP in 2020. And then that's followed by a 4.5% expansion in 2021, and then a 3.3% expansion in 2022. So if we get anywhere near these numbers, then the outlook for delinquency and forbearance performance is really quite positive, right? So if you think about where we stand at this point, you know, I always like to look at the performance of the MBS market through the lens of coupon and then vintage, right? And so vintage is kind of when the loans backing the pools were originated. And we can simplify vintage even more to new production pools whose WALA is less than or equal to 30 months, moderately seasoned, which are pools whose WALA is between 31 and 60 months, and then seasoned pools whose WALA is greater than 60 months, right? And then we can further kind of stratify things by looking at the convexity sector, right? So whether it's low loan balance, or it's a state geo story, or it's a FICO story, or an LTV story. So in this case, you know, for this discussion, we'll just kind of focus on the loan balance sector. So if we go across the new production pools, we see delinquency rates increase by coupon, right? So that is the higher coupon, and by extension, higher spread or higher Sato pools that we talked about earlier, show much higher delinquency rates than the lower coupons, right? So high Sato reflects loan level price or risk adjustments made due to the borrower's credit profile. So that's why we give it, you know, credit in our prepayments forecasts in terms of voluntary prepayments, because we believe that reflects some refinancing friction. But simply higher Sato also reflects weaker credit. So these are the borrowers that we would have expected to be most impacted by the pandemic, you know, by extension, this high Sato risky borrower. So it's no surprise to see these pools exhibiting a higher delinquency in forbearance rates, right? But across all the coupons and loan balance sectors, delinquency rates have trended downward from their April-May pandemic highs, right? At the onset of the pandemic and the shutdown of the economy, delinquency rates spiked. And since that time, they've come down, and now they're only slightly above their pre-COVID levels. But again, delinquencies have rolled into the 120 days past due. So they're eligible for buyouts. The GSEs are going to, you know, sort of manage that buyouts. But even the 120 DPD appears to be flattening out, and forbearance rates have peaked as well and actually have begun turning down somewhat. So altogether, this kind of suggests the following. First, the worst of the pandemic credit shock may be behind us, but a lot is going to depend on, you know, COVID transmission rates and what the infection rates look like in the winter months. The second is the stronger economic growth that John is projecting into 2021 and then 2022 are really going to help to reduce delinquency roll rates, right? And then that, by that, I mean, you know, a borrower's 30 days down rolls into 60, 90, and then 120. And so that's also going to reduce the idiosyncratic prepayment risk that's attributable to the expiration of forbearance, because we're going to have a stronger economy. The borrowers that are in forbearance are going to be able to come out of forbearance and be able to handle the change in their payments, you know, in terms of having to catch up and those types of things. And then third, the lower coupon Losado pools actually look like, you know, some pools that may offer investors that are concerned about buyout risk a means with which to kind of minimize their idiosyncratic prepayment risk that's attributable to the 120 days past due delinquents and forbearance, which tends to show up in the higher coupons.
Thanks for touching on all these points, Glenn, and thank you for sharing your insights with us. It's always great to have you on the show.
Sure, great. Thank you for having me, Ellen.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on the Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.